From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh.
It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and if you are listening to this somewhere else, like on the podcast, I've been told to tell you that it's episode 67 of The Dice Men Cometh, broadcasting on the 16th of April, 2015. I've been told that we have to say this now for the podcasters so they know what they're listening to and where everybody is.
We got to give our people what they want.
While we all listen to the years of our life slide past us while we sit eating Doritos and smearing cheese dust all over our dice and meeples.
Anyway, we have got a show packed full of Dorito cheesy dusty goodness. We are going to talk about all the things that happened on International Tabletop Day, specifically all the games we played, all the games we didn't play. We've got some red hot gaming news for you. We're going to talk about what sort of game would be fantastic for Trent's dad to play to get him playing games.
No, listen, I've told you I can't play games this week while my father's in town. You don't believe me.
And we've got a new competition. Woo! Our friends at Grail Games have given us some games to give away. We're going to talk about that later on and how you can win them. All of that and more tonight on The Dice Men Cometh.
Yep, Trent, Mark and Garth on Edge Radio with unhappy little tune to get us started. Back from our break, this is called For the Record by Every Time I Die.
Hey, rock!
On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is The Dice Men Cometh. It's a show about tabletop gaming, and Trent, Mark and Garth, that's our names. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been playing just lately. And in fact, there was a very important milestone that we missed when we took a little break with the show, and that is Tabletop Day.
Yeah, International Tabletop Day in its third year?
Fourth? I don't know.
Yeah, I think third.
Started by the folks at Geek and Sundry, Will Wheaton, Felicia Day, following on from their tabletop YouTube show, which is having a very successful third season. I think they're halfway through the third season. And in fact, they have shot and about to launch their role-playing game show, which I'm very interested to see. It sounds very interesting. They've got a custom world, I think, using the Dragon Age system from Green Ronin, which is got a lot of really positive press. I'm really interested to see that.
Cool.
But that inspired a lot of people to get out and play games on the weekends. So I went into one of our friendly local game stores, Area 52. They've got a nice area upstairs. Met some friends in there, and we played Last Will. Now, I think we've talked about this game briefly in the past. Mm-hmm.
This is the game of Brewster's Millions,
yeah,
essentially. If you remember
yeah.
that Richard Pryor movie from the 80s.
That's right. So it's by Czech Game Editions, but it's not a Vlada game, or it is by a guy called Vlada, but not our Vlada.
More than one Vlada.
Vladimir Zuki from Czech Game Editions. This game came out in 2011, and it plays 2 to 4 players. As you said, Trent, Brewster's Millions, it's the game where you need to lose all your money in order to inherit your rich uncle's fortune. So you're all trying to lose a certain amount of money, somewhere between 60 and 100 megabucks or something like that. And it's set in Victorian England.
And it's got the most wonderful sort of twee, almost Monty Python-esque sort of art to it.
Yeah, well, it's all very Victorian proper, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. But the sense of humour that runs under that is quite funny. You know, like one of the things you can spend money on is going out to dinner, and you can take a guest, you can take a dog, you can take a horse, you can take your own private chef on a cruise, on a dinner, in your house, all those sort of things. And it really flips on its head that premise in most games where the person with the most stuff wins, because you're trying to give away all your stuff. You buy property and then you've got to trash it and then sell it. So you've got to buy high and sell low in this. You have got to give money away to your old school chums,
yep.
And messengers sending messages around the place about dinner parties. And look, I find it's fantastic.
Property when it's at its most expensive.
Yeah, that's right. And you even manipulate the property market to make sure you lose the most.
Yep.
And it has a really interesting, it's sort of a combination of hand management, action selection and worker placement. And the turn order is even interesting because you've got a whole bunch of combinations of how many cards you can draw, how many actions you can take, and how many workers you have. And in turn order, you select those. So you, if you want to go first, you might only get one action, one worker, and two cards or something. If you want to go further down the track, you might get six cards, four actions, and three workers, or there are whole different combinations. It's really interesting.
I love this game. Garth, you haven't played it.
I haven't yet. I've seen a couple of reviews, but haven't actually played it at the table.
I do think it's fair to say, though, that it's not an easy game to learn, that some of the mechanics are maybe a little bit counterintuitive. It's certainly not a beginner's game.
I think it's not super difficult, but you're right. It's probably that mid-weight game. Mm-hmm. It's not hard to learn how to play. It's very, very hard to learn how to win. Because of that counterintuitive thing of you're trying to give everything away, I struggle. I don't know if I've ever won a game of this. Jeremy, whose game it is, good friend of the show, Jeremy, he is really good at it, and he did win. He actually managed to get rid of all his money and go bankrupt even before the game ended. So we ended a turn early, which totally threw my strategy out the window because I had crashed the property market ready to sell all my houses.
Jeremy is such a gun player. Like, I've just never known him to lose at just about anything, which is why it's always great when Mark plays it. And I just stand well back.
And look, interesting thing with this game, I haven't played the expansion, but there is an expansion called Getting Sacked. Mm. So now you've got a job, which is, of course, bringing you extra money, that you've got to lose. So you have to get sacked. And the problem is your boss, apparently, in this job is such a nice guy that no matter what terrible things you do, he still wants to keep you on board. So it's really difficult to get sacked. It also adds marriage, because, of course, what's more expensive in life than getting married?
You can divorced.
Getting divorced.
Yes, there you go.
That too.
You can even get married twice. So the interesting thing is it adds a lot of new dimensions, which really makes it hard. In the original game, you can probably go down one way. So you can go down a property way, or you can go down a going out to dinner way and lose a lot of money. With all these extra things that the expansion adds, and it also adds a fifth player, it means you've got to have a much more three-dimensional strategy. And I look at, when I was doing my research for this, I went back and checked the Shut Up and Sit Down review, and you know they absolutely loved it. They of course, did. They dressed up in top hats and things like that. But Last Will from Czech Games, I really enjoy it. I highly recommend it.
Now, I know that that's not all you played, though, on Tabletop Day. You were out all day. Did you get another game
in? Well, it wasn't a long time, but I did. Talking of friends of the show, friend of the show, Matt Dunstan, of course, famous Australian game designer, now based in the UK. And I don't know, have you seen, fellas, Elysium? There's some pictures of it going around the internet. It's been played. Recently I saw it, the gathering of friends, all the crazy designers there were playing it and raving about it. It looks absolutely beautiful. That's Matt Dunstan's new game. This one, Empire Engines, his mini game designed with Chris Marling. It's in that AEG little baggy line.
Yeah, sort of a love letter style.
Exactly, a bag just like Love Letter. It came out in 2013. And it's basically designed to be, I guess, one of those mini games, but something with a bit more depth. And it has this sort of steampunky theme that is neither here nor there. But basically, you've got these two cogs. And you remember we played it briefly. Yep. You've got these two cogs that you're turning. You're getting soldiers, you're getting resources, you're turning your little cubes into resources that you can score with, but you can also attack other players. It's a fun little game, and it played in, like, I think we played it in like 25 minutes with four players. No one else had played it there apart from me. Of course, I still didn't win, because damn, Jeremy won again. Damn you, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I really like this game, because it is nice and simple. It's always good to have a little game that comes in that love letter-sized box or bag, and it is really easy to teach. Did you find it easy to educate these new players?
Yeah, well, look, you know me. Game explaining isn't the greatest thing that I do, but yeah, even
and yet we put him on the radio to do just that. But, Mark, you've come a long way, I must say.
Even I managed to explain it. We did really enjoy it. It is a great little game. It is really, you know, that sort of filler, start of the night, end of the night, fills that niche nicely, particularly for people who are perhaps a little bit sick of Love Letter or a bit want something a little bit more meaty but still having it quite short. It fills that spot particularly well. So that's Empire Engines from AEG,
Yeah, that's good. I like those games.
All
good
right,
choices,
Mark. Take a breath. Garth and I are going to come back in just a second, talk about what we have been playing lately. Plus, we'll have a few details on one of the games that you can win in our brand new competition, Does the competition have a name?
We'll figure that out now.
Yeah. Let's work it out in the break and we can come back.
We'll be back as soon as we figure that out next on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. 112 from Bad Vision, 112 on 99.3. Hey!
Whee!
Edge Radio, this is the
Check
Dice Men Cometh, and we've had a little break. We've had to set a week off doing the show and the podcast. In that time, a listener by the name of Chris Mann has contacted us, and he's been mainlining every episode of the show on iTunes.
Just get him to help!
Over, like, just back to back. Oh, my God.
Yeah. 66 episodes in... No, not the missing episode.
Exactly right.
Is it 14 or 13, the missing episode?
Oh, there was one that was lost to a computer glitch.
He must have had it just radio hooked up straight into his veins or something.
Jesus. No.
Too much Dice Men is never enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, games we've been playing lately. I played Fantasy Flight's Civilization.
Oh, just a short game then.
Wow.
just a
filler?
A nice, light, entertaining evening. Played this at the Hobart Game Society. It is, of course, the board game implementation of the famous computer game by Sid Meier. Now, you've played Civilization, the computer game, yeah?
Yeah. And I've also played this board game at the Hobart Game Society.
You enjoyed this?
3, 4, 5 months back?
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you talk about it first, and maybe I'll interject.
Well, look, I will say that it's a fairly good redeployment of it, at least from what I can remember. It's been some years since I played the computer game. I was the Japanese, and I was going up against, I don't know, the Romans or the Russians or someone like that. I can't remember now. But you have a board of tiles, so it's a modular board. There's a 4x4, so 16 tiles, most of which are... You flip the wrong way around, and as you explore, you flip them up, encountering new territory.
Like the fog of war.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Looking for resources and special sites, but you might find that you're blocked by the ocean, so you better start researching how to build boats and that kind of thing. I got awfully lucky with my positioning, and I had a couple of special temples or something
just around
me, which gave me a little bit of a boost early on in the game. And I must admit, I actually did quite well in this, although... I'll break the news early in the description. I did lose, but it was one of those classic things where there were four of us playing, three of us were extroverts, and there was one introvert. The extroverts all start fighting each other. Yeah. The introvert comes up the rear and takes the game at the end. There is so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a typical Fantasy Flight waste of cardboard. There is just so... I don't even know where to begin. But I got to say, I was... playing it with a guy who is a teacher professionally. I mean, that's his job. And he did a marvellous job at explaining it to me. And I did pick it up within the first sort of two or three turns. Probably the biggest single thing that's going on is the tech tree, which is one of the many ways to win this game. You can have a technological victory, a cultural victory, or a military victory. I should have
economic victory
I
as well.
Should have pursued the military victory. That was my mistake because I was actually kicking ass, I got to say. But then I got a bit because I was actually beating my teacher.
Wow. Okay. Right?
And he was getting a bit grumpy, so I sort of pulled back. Yeah.
Well, I've got to agree in that it's a great implementation of the computer game. Like, it's really loyal to the computer game, and the way the fog of war works is really good, but. As you say, Trent, it just is another overblown Fantasy Flight thing with too much going on, too many things happening. And when I played it, I enjoyed it as well. But I look at something like I've been playing a lot of Through the Ages, the Vlaarkvartel civilization building game.
There's Vlaar again.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing it. He's everywhere. I've been playing it online. It is really easy to play online because there's so many cards and everything. And it does take... You know, it is like a 3 to 4 hour game.
Same length, but
yeah.
Why is it better?
Well, you have lots of little tiny cylinders that you move around, all the little bits of wood. In the game, the computer does that all. So it does all the bookkeeping because you've got about 6 different score tracks. You've got your military score track, you've got your technology score track, you've got your culture score track, you've got your resources track, your workers track. The computer does all that for you, which is really nice. So you can just concentrate on what your actual strategy is. And because you can play lots of games at once, you can play lots of games over and over again. and you can play it on a turn basis, so you can go away and come back. It's really helped me to learn the game.
What you're essentially saying, though, is that really you'd much rather be playing these kinds of big, sprawling, multifaceted civilization-building games on the computer than you would on a board game.
No, not necessarily. I think it gives you an opportunity to practice, because it is the game you don't want to sit down with five people who have never played it before.
That's true.
Because exactly. Then you're in for a freaking 8-hour nation's epic. You know?
It doesn't end.
That's right.
Well, I got crushed within 4 hours. Yep. I certainly enjoyed it, but yes, it's too overblown, really, for what it is. But there is a fun game in there.
Yeah.
And I think, Garth, that if you're a young adolescent without a girlfriend, or a 40-plus nerd with too much time on his hands, and you know you could spend 4 hours of a night playing this on the computer, then you may as well do that with some mates instead.
Exactly.
And,
I agree.
You might meet a lady through one of them.
You would hope so.
Or indeed a man or some kind of partner. Or, you know, some wildlife. I don't know.
An internet robot.
I don't know. I mean, whichever way it goes, you know, that you like to swing, I don't care. We don't judge.
Well, just to add another level of computerness to it is a game that is constantly up on eBay. So, I don't know whether that sort of says that, you know, some people play it once and go, I don't want this anymore. But I've seen it plenty of times for under $50.
And I think it definitely is one of those games that if you're in a group of computer people, you can throw this out and say, hey, look, we can sit around and play it.
Right.
And it could be a bridge for those people to come into the board game hobby.
And I might see how cheap I can pick one up on eBay. Garth, have you been playing anything?
I have, and mine was not quite an enormous big box game like that. It was a teensy-weensy little box, and it was so relaxing and lovely and beautiful that I even put a little photo of it up on Twitter, and I was playing Elevenses, which is a game about morning tea.
From Australia's own Grail Games.
Exactly, right.
And surely, Garth, isn't it Elevenses?
We'll have to speak to the designer about that and get his official wording. But I was playing this because I had a bit of a holiday over Tabletop Day, so I only was able to pack a couple of small games in the bag to take to the caravan. So I took Elevenses, and I was really, really impressed with it. It's a little small box hand management game where 2 to 4 players are really just attempting to make the best morning tea for their guests, which, you know, is certainly not a theme that you see every day. So I was interested from the get-go. Now, the way it works is each of the players gets an identical deck of 11 cards. They are all the same except for the different coloured backs, so you can sort of differentiate them. They have different values on them, and the values are in teaspoons,
ooh,
which is also very nice and very quaint. And the way it works is that you'll randomly you'll shuffle your cards out, and you'll put 8 of them face down in 2 rows of 4, face down. So you don't know what these numbers are, what these cards are, but that becomes your spread. So that's your morning tea. And you get 3 cards in your hand, which is your kitchen. And on your turn, you're only doing 2 things. You're either going to play one of the cards from your hand into the correct space, because each of these cards can only go on the table face up in one of the spots.
Mm.
When you play the card, it has a value, so it adds to the value of your morning tea with teaspoons, and it has a special action. The special action might be good for you, might be good for your opponents, might be good for everyone, might be bad for everyone, but it's a really simple mechanic. And then the only other action you can do is you can take up to 2 arrange actions, where you go and have a peek at a couple of your face down cards and move them around so that you can get a bit of a strategy going for, I've got some cards in my hand that I'm going to have to play. When I play them and pick up the next card, it's going to give me a bit more direction.
And did I see this game has sugar cubes?
It does. It has sugar cubes as your scoring thing.
Oh,
it also has a little card which serves no other purpose apart from being a sugar bowl. So you just put your little sugar cubes in it. It's lovely. I really enjoyed it. It is really simple. It played we played a 2-player game in 15, 20 minutes. So again, it fills a really nice niche. But it comes built in with an inbuilt expansion called The Guests, which adds a little bit of strategy, because The Guests will give you extra bonus points to your spread, but only if you deliver them the right kind of meals. So one of them might want to have fine china. They might want to have, you know, biscuits. They might want to have this. So, you know, I think David has done a really fantastic job from Grail Games getting this put out. It's the second edition that's only just been released in the last month or so. So obviously it was really, really successful to warrant that second release. It was also co-developed by Phil Walker Harding. So, you know, got a bit of the... Is it relatives?
They're brothers. Yeah, they're brothers, Phil and David.
Exactly
the Harding,
right.
The Harding boys.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, so it's obviously really great pedigree, and I just loved it. It really played nicely.
We talk a lot about, or have talked a lot on the show about games coming out of Japan and this minimalist design aesthetic that they have there because the apartments are so small they've got nowhere to store the enormous box games. But these very innovative little ideas and mechanics packed into tiny decks of cards and tiny packages, and this is a great example of that, but coming from right here in Australia.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's the second in of sort of the series of games. The first one was 101.
Yep.
This is number two, so hopefully we see what comes along in the later collections.
Well, what comes along, courtesy of David Harding from Grail Games, is a chance to win these.
Woo.
And we'll tell you how to do that. We still haven't thought of a name.
We've got another song to play, haven't we?
We've got another
couple. We've still got time.
Well, actually, I've got to talk about the news as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a couple of weeks of board gaming news. Well,
Garth and I will go out of the room because we don't need to listen to that.
No.
All right. Well, that's coming up next. It's Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. North Dakota from the Parkett Courts on Edge Radio. This is the Dice Men Cometh talking tabletop games. I was just getting ready to do the board gaming news, and Garth, you suddenly announced that there is a Kickstarter that's got my name all over it.
Exactly right. So it's Stonemaier.
That's happening right now.
Yeah, yep. Stonemaier has only, 48 hours ago released their new treasure chests, which has three different styles.
Just explain what the treasure chests are.
So the treasure chests are basically little components that are beautifully, exquisitely, that replace your cubes.
It's pimping out your board games.
Exactly right.
So it's completely unnecessary.
Exactly. Of course it is.
We don't need these to actually play anything.
No.
And we want them.
Exactly right. You need them, Trent.
What do they go?
Oh, look, the thing is, they've got one pack, which is a food pack, where you get steak and barley and all of those kinds of things, which is perfect for, like Agricola and a few other games. You get a resource one, which is your different types of wood and steel and so on and so on. There is the, what's it called, Mark? The power pack or the something, energy pack.
Yeah, energy.
Which is just beautiful for Power Grid. It's got little radioactive things, and it's got garbage bins, and it's got the various styles. It is glorious.
Just as well I started working full time again recently.
Yeah. And it's actually really quite affordable because the postage, they're like half of the postage cost they're absorbing through, you know, something or other. So it only maybe $10 postage from the States.
There you go. Something to waste your money on. Your first bit of board gaming news this evening. Thank you, Robin Williams. Okay, if you're looking for a new title to drool over, Baroni from Marc André, the man who did Splendor. This is coming from Asmodee, and it's, I don't know if it's Baroni as in, like, from Danger Mouse, see Baroni, or Barony, I think, maybe. It's an area control game that looks a lot like Kingdom Builder.
Mm.
A lot.
Yes.
Don't know how it plays, don't know too much about it. Coming out in June, many people are talking about it. And speaking of Asmodee, they have announced a new organized play system.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. Yeah. Looks really interesting.
So this is basically rock up to your favorite friendly local game store, and they will have some special exclusive organized play packs with promos and giveaways, and you can win things like really fancy schmancy play mats for your games. Again, all completely unnecessary, just nice cheddar.
It's not unnecessary because one of the games they're doing, Trent...
Yeah, I know.
Seven Wonders.
I know.
And another game is Splendor.
Yes.
And they're doing something that allows you to have two versions of Splendor in one game.
The thing about this organized play stuff, yeah, look, it is great, but being all the way out here at the end of the earth in Australia, they are expensive.
Yeah.
These packs are expensive and slow to get here, and that's even if you can get them after you've ordered them.
Yes.
So make sure that your friendly local game store has a good relationship in place there, knows exactly when they're coming in, and that you can afford it, all right?
Yeah.
Because they've got to offset the cost.
I think this is, though, a great example of how these two game companies coming together, Asmodee taking over Fantasy Flight Games, You know, they've looked at Fantasy Flight and looked at one of the things they do really well, which is the organized play stuff. So it's a great cross-pollinization of ideas from that American game world into the Euro game world.
And speaking of Fantasy Flight games, the obligatory FFG news update on Imperial Assault. The first wave of expansions for the Star Wars Descent clone have been announced. Gentlemen, which character from Star Wars do you most want to play?
Chewbacca.
I'm sorry, you're not getting either of those.
There's a
brand new mini campaign called Twin Shadows. It contains two new heroes. Again, they're just made up for the game, so it's no one you know. There are also some separate villain and ally packs that have been released, featuring R2-D2, C-3PO, and Boba Fett, apparently. No sign of Han Solo, though, which is the correct answer.
No, Misa so want to be in that game.
Oh, God. Fantasy Flight Games also releasing a Warhammer 40K game, which, as we've established on this show, there isn't enough Warhammer 40K. In the world. There aren't enough options to explore that universe. So there's now a board game called Forbidden Stars. Who's this for? This confuses me.
Well, I guess it's for someone who obviously wants a bit more of it.
Is it for miniatures players who want to try playing a board game? Is that what it is?
So yeah. Are there minis in this one at all?
Well, I guess. Honestly, I don't know because the whole thing just doesn't capture my... is it meant to convert players of one into the other?
Well, I think we've already got the... Is it Relic, which is the talisman... The 40K version of Talisman.
Yep.
I mean, I thought that was an attempt to get 40K players across into the board game world.
Are they still attempting, or obviously there's just money to be made?
I don't know. Well, I see Relic has more expansions coming out, so, you know, there's clearly money in this stuff, because they don't just print them and stack them up in their back cupboard.
They obviously know or think they know what they're doing. They've only got to get people to paint the minis, and people will buy them just for that, won't they?
I just think you could put Warhammer 40K on rolls of toilet paper and home pregnancy test kits, and you would sell some. Maybe not the latter one. Anyway, moving on. A different company. Let's talk about IDW Publishing and Games, a rapidly growing company responsible for your favourite little family game at the moment, Garth.
Yes.
Machikoro.
Of course, Machikoro. Oh, yeah.
They recently announced that they managed to post $25.4 million in business in 2014, which has doubled since 2009. Games are actually just $1 million in that, but IDW Publishing is a name you're going to be hearing a lot more of and seeing a lot more of. They've got lots of licenses. They've recently put out an X-Files game just in time for the reboot of the series. It's almost as if they knew it was coming. And IDW also started off as a comics publishing.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where I knew the name from, was from graphic novels.
And they've got games coming based on Chew, on Powers, which is an amazing comic book series.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that TV show yet. Have you seen the TV show?
No, heard about it. Heard it's on the list. Speaking of TV shows, I've got one based on Orphan Black.
The
sci-fi show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they've recently announced a tie-in with some games based on a huge property from the 70s that hasn't been touched in board games yet. Can we guess?
Space 1999?
No, it's not sci-fi.
Oh.
It's crime.
I was going to say Hill Street Blues, but that's later. That's
no,
80s.
No, it's The Godfather.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Okay, so there's two games that have been announced so far. The first is more or less based on Werewolf or the old Mafia game.
Yep.
Okay, so really no surprise there.
The wheel turns full circle.
It doesn't it? And the other Godfather game is going to be the one that you imagine in your head when you say that title.
Sure.
It's the New York Five Boroughs area control game,
which
just makes me think of Tammany Hall.
Yeah, exactly right. Except you get to play a horse's head card. Surely.
It's got to be.
There's got to be. You're going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Steve Jackson Games have announced an update for their Ogre property. It's a little card game which will be a lot easier to post and carry than
22 kilos of board game.
They did, yes. They've also announced that they're going to be releasing a Hellboy board game.
Oh.
No! And I'll tell you why, because Hellboy is probably my favorite comic book. And Steve Jackson Games, I love them. It's been a while since they've done anything great, though, isn't it?
You know, this can only mean one thing.
Munchkin.
Yeah, Munchkin Hellboy.
Yeah. Actually, look, I want to talk about that next week on the show. I've got some startling figures on just how much money Munchkin actually makes.
Yeah, okay.
That's next week. Anyway, look, this news about Steve Jackson Games came out as part of the Gamma Trade Show, which was held in Las Vegas at the end of March. This is the Game Manufacturers Association. Yeah. So they just basically get a lot of retailers coming along. It's an industry event, but there's still some geek news that came out of it. Crossmaster is moving to blind boxes for their minis, for their game. So that, I mean, they're collectible already, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you just won't know what it is you're buying.
Sure.
Hey, what did you expect if you were stupid enough to get into that?
Yeah.
A brand new company to keep an eye on called Pulpasaurus Entertainment are releasing in 2016 a new Conan game, a mini skirmish miniatures.
So that would be the third one in within the year, I reckon.
That's not the Kickstarter one.
No. It's a miniatures skirmish level game, similar to Malifaux
that we
were talking about with Kyle. From Portal out of Poland, two new expansions for the little civilization building that Imperial Settlers. Has anybody played this yet?
No,
Imperial Settlers.
I've heard good things about it.
It's not going away, is it?
No.
Right, and as we've established, that's the test of a good game when people are still talking about it. 6 months, a year after release, there's an expansion called Why Can't We Be Friends, and a fifth faction that's going to be released at Gen Con later in the year. Let's see. Upper Deck are bringing out a title called Bring Out Your Dead. And I mean, look, there's games coming out all the time, but this is just a theme that caught my eye. You've got to bury the bodies of your family in the best spots of the best cemetery that you can find.
Okay.
But the grave diggers are lazy. So you've got to sort of bribe them. And if their gravediggers aren't properly motivated, they'll dump your family's bodies in the river.
So good family game then.
White Wizards announced Star Realms Year 2. And they're also going to try and do it again with another trading card game / deck buildery. Actually, no, I don't know if this is a deck builder. Was Star Realms a deck builder?
I can't even remember. So it comes in a pack.
Yeah.
And then they have released expansions, which is more cards. And remember, that's the one that was designed by some professional Magic players.
Right,
so it does have that sort of Magic-y feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're going to try and do it again with a fantasy theme this time with a game called Epic in capital letters, which suggests that it's...
Epic.
Yes. It's described as a cross between Ascension and Star Realms because that's what the world needs. New edition of Zombicide. Anybody?
No,
Zombicide.
Is it going to be kickstarted again?
Medieval style. It's called Black Plague. However, this one does have a retooling of the rules in it, which allows for spells and dwarves and all that stuff.
Actually, speaking of games that you see a lot on eBay, games you see a lot on sites where games are traded between gamers. I would have to say Zombicide is the number one game I've seen advertised there.
All the promos are on eBay constantly as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Last of all, no surprises that Gen Con has announced that it won't be leaving Indianapolis until at least the year 2020. Indianapolis, of course, in Indiana, the state, recently passing the quote-unquote religious freedom laws, which we've discussed previously on the show. Gen Con, a huge nerd convention that makes a lot of money for that state, rattled at Saber, but has not drawn blood, but is reconsidering what to do after 2020.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, where that pans out.
Well, these conventions are only getting bigger and bigger, so I mean, they would have some more power again in 3-4 years' time, you'd imagine.
And speaking of conventions, I just want to do a shout out to a couple of Aussies waving the flag at the Gathering of Friends.
Mm.
Two people that we know, Eos and Rachel, we met them at BorderCon, one from the north of Australia, one from the south, not quite as south as us, but they've been at the Gathering of Friends, which is this exclusive convention, invite only, where you go and where... it was started by Alan Moon about 10 years ago, basically to test his games out on his friends. And it's just grown and grown. But it's still invite only, as far as I understand. And all the designers are there, and they have their latest prototypes
those guys get to play them. I've seen some amazing photos.
Did I see that our friend Eos was playing a prototype of Seafall?
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Mm. He's also playing another prototype with Tom Lehman of Race for the Galaxy fame.
Yeah.
I saw him playing with Tom Vassell.
Yeah, Peter Hawes.
Yeah, look, he's living it up. He's living the dream. Eos, you bastard.
And he got to go to Snakes and Lattes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, ah.
Luckily, you'll be able to hear all about it on Eos's podcast. He's one of the Board Game Knights.
Mm.
It is a much better podcast than what this is. I don't even know why you're bothering.
Well, actually,
I haven't even been playing any games lately. I mean, you know, I haven't had a chance to with my father's in town, so that's kind of put a damper on.
I did ask him whether we might talk to him when he comes back just to tell us all about it. But look, your father, surely there's a game you can get into.
You don't know. You don't understand,
man.
Right? Okay, now we're going to tell you all about how to win this copy of 101 and 11s as that's coming up next on the Dice Men Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
That was Cold Industry by Sunny Man. You're with Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men, Mark and Garth and Trent, talking all things board games, card games, tabletop games. And what to do with those awkward relatives. Now, we are going to talk about our competition in a minute, but Trent, there's a reason you can't come out and play games, isn't there?
Yes. Well, look, there's nothing... My old man's in town, all right? And it's awkward, okay? It's awkward.
Yeah.
He's not a gamer. Doesn't really understand what it is that I do with my spare time.
Mm-hmm. You've had to wear pants at home?
He's old school Tasmanian. Right? Mm-hmm. Can I just put it that way?
Yes.
And this is just not the done thing, is to sit around
and
rolling dice and play. not unless there's, you know, cards and money and beer and maybe a fist fight.
Yeah, I was going to say the jar of 2 cent coins and the poker.
Maybe. Yeah? Yeah, I mean, poker at an absolute stretch. But even then, I just think that's just not worth going there. So we're much better off just sitting down and watching a rerun of MASH.
surely.
No. Yeah, maybe you just haven't discovered the right game. No, I mean, what sort of stuff does he like?
I know what he likes. I know what he hates. I know the games. What does he like? Well, he likes antiques.
Okay, just making a note of that one.
Yeah. He likes football.
Ooh.
From the 1960s.
Okay.
Back
AFL type football.
Back when it was a real game.
Mm-hmm.
He likes the Goon Show.
Ooh, bit of Spike Milligan.
Cutting edge humor. Yes.
Yeah,
World War II.
Yeah.
He thought World War II was fantastic. he thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
The military hardware. Yeah, like he's gotcha. into that.
Every boy's dream: the Spitfires and the Sherman tanks.
And that's
all that
that's
stuff.
The era he grew up in. I suppose he did build a few models and things like that. So you know, he's got that sort of nerdy side to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he hates anything to do with science fiction, or, as he puts it, movies where it's dark all the time. Hates anything with flying cars in it.
Uh-huh.
Can't stand flying cars. What else does he hate? Tofu. And people telling him what to do. And knowing his business. He'd hate me talking about him like this.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I'll tell you what. Do we need to check in and see if he's listening before we start having this conversation?
I'll find out when I get home now, won't I? Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Well, look, I've sort of thought about those list of ingredients, and there's a few
I'm struggling. I can't think of anything.
There's a few there that I can't touch, but I'll tell you what popped into my head. There's a couple of things. Memoir 44.
Oh, I wrote this down.
There you go.
Too complicated.
You've got your dice.
Too complicated.
You've got your little plastic tanks, you've got your hex maps, you've got your barbed wire.
Exactly.
Tank traps.
It's two players, so a good bonding opportunity.
Yeah. Are the little plastic tanks historically accurate?
Absolutely.
Can you tell which factory that they
the pans are threes, the pans are fours.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty good. No, it's good quality stuff.
I was only extracting the urine. Are you actually telling me it's good quality stuff? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And look, something else that I thought of if you want old school, this is old school. This was introduced to me by our friend John, who, you know, came off the ark. And
with board game in tow.
Yeah, that's right. Or in this case, flip book. Ah. It's called Ace of Aces.
Oh, I know this. I know this.
First published in 1980.
Yep.
And the very first one, the one that I played with John, was a sop with camel versus a focker. And it's like almost like a choose your own adventure. You pick what you're going to do, whether you're going to turn left, turn right, pull the trigger, go up, go down, go fast, go slow. The other person picks what they're going to do. You turn to page X, and it in your book and his book, and it shows your view, and it shows the other person's view. Yep. So whether you're lining them up and da-da-da-da-da-da, or whether the plane's disappeared completely out
it's
of your
sight. It's kind of like the original X-Wing style of combat,
exactly.
Isn't it?
This in is a flip book.
This has made me think of, because that's very much the forerunner to Wings of War.
Exactly,
yeah, yes.
Which is another game which could probably work. I've played Wings of War. It's not a bad little combat
and
game.
And I tell you what, the last one that I want to mention, and I'm... Something, for some reason, has made me think that you might even have a copy of this on the shelf.
Oh.
Escape from Colditz. Have I seen that in your study?
No.
This is a game published in 1973 by Parker Brothers, designed by Major Pat Reed, who was an escapee from Colditz.
Wow.
No.
He was one of the British escape officers who was in charge of arranging the British escapes from Colditz. And then he also escaped himself.
Amazing.
He designed this game. It's got a big map. I mean, it's a very 1970s
sure,
board game.
Sure.
Roll and move. But it's got like the Colditz...
Which is exactly how he got out, you know.
Yeah. The Colditz ground laid out. And you've got your troops and you've got your soldiers and you basically got to orchestrate. The British team has to orchestrate the British escaping. The French team has to orchestrate the French escaping. As I said, it's very old school, but it looks fascinating. And I'm sure, you know, it's like playing the Paul Newman movie. It's got to be right up his alley. Yeah. It's got to be right up his alley.
But you've forgotten one thing, though. You've forgotten his love of footy. None of that touches on footy.
Yeah, well...
And there's only one choice. Especially because I've been on eBay lately.
Oh, no.
You know what it is, don't you?
Oh,
it's up there, Kazaley. Oh, come on. You could pick that up for $5 and you two could have an absolute ball. It is just, how can it not be good? He would love you for it,
and
Trent.
He just sing the song the whole time.
Right. It comes with 44 Kazaleys. in a deck of cards.
That's great, guys. Yeah, thanks.
No, I was thinking, what was that name of the French game we talked about a week or two ago where it was about the World War One trenches? Because that could have been one that might be up his alley as well.
I mean, the other one I thought of, which is probably a bit more on the complicated side, but talk about your World War Two hardware, is, of course, Axis and Allies. I mean, look, throw that stuff down. Even if he just sits down with you, Trent, and plays with the little tanks and you make a road and... that would be bonding time.
Yeah, you see, the point of all of this is that I don't want to have to spend time with him.
So a solitaire version.
No.
Come out and play games?
I'm kidding. I thought all was lost, but...
I think there's one more choice.
Thank you. Oh, and there's more. Okay.
But this will involve you emailing a publisher and asking for something, because I think you need to get the World War II edition of Flashpoint. If you could get some Flashpoint done in a World War II re-theme...
Yeah, Spitfires on a...
on a Sherman,
you know,
or something.
On a London... tarmac and Sherman's blowing. Sherman's wouldn't be in London. The Churchill tanks would be blowing up.
Okay, that's not entirely a stupid idea.
Exactly. Thank right. You. Make it happen.
Okay. Have we thought of a name for our contest?
Yeah, but we'll get to that in a moment. Play a song.
Next on The Dice Man Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. That's Caribou with Second Chance on The Dice Man Cometh. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Trent, Mark and Garth with a second chance, dare I say it, to win something from this particular little radio show / podcast, however you care to consume the show.
And this is episode 67, Trent.
Thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. Our friend David at Grail Games has given us copies of Elevenses and 101 to give away. Now, what exactly specifically are we giving away? Because we've got a bunch of those.
Yeah, so what we're going to give away is we're going to have a couple of prizes. Prize for the winner is one game of Elevensies and one game of 101 delivered to their door by some form of postal system. And then we have two runners-up, where you will, the runner-up will either get 11Zs or 101. So we're giving away four games.
Yeah, and we're going to decide who gets what, right?
Exactly, right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so how do we enter this? Well, not me, but how does anyone... I'll stop talking.
So to enter this competition, what we want to know about, because these games are produced by Grail Games, a fantastic local Australian company, mm-hmm. we want to know what would be in your Grail game. So what are the perfect elements, the perfect storm that would come together to make the perfect game for you? So go all out. Use your imagination. It could be like Trenstad. It could be the flipbook of World War II, tanks chasing each other around a battlefield.
So we're not talking about games that exist. We're talking about, like, close your eyes and think of the board game that you've wanted to play since you were a kid and nothing else has ever actually quite come close.
What is the
idea for that? Like, for me, I still haven't had the game that lets me be Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon. Right?
The expansion will come out soon.
Well, it's not Merchants of Venus and it's not Firefly because they don't quite do it. Right? Mm. So that's still my holy grail game.
Yes.
Yeah, look, I don't know what mine is, but use your imagination, hit us up, and again, it can be written word, spoken word, a video, a music clip. It can be anything you like. And send it to dicemencometh@gmail.com.
Yes.
The competition is going to close on Thursday, the 30th of April.
That's only 2 weeks away,
that's right,
Mark.
So it's only 2 weeks, and you could win two games. It's not too late to get organised.
Thanks very much to David from Grail Games for these. Have we thought of a name for this contest?
Well, it's Grail Games.
Got it. The Grail Games competition.
Perfect, that'll do.
Yeah.
Dicemencometh@gmail.com. Send in your entries. You've only got 2 weeks.
And shout out to David Harding from Grail Games, who I beat in Railroad Tycoon on Yukata.
Okay, we'll catch you next week. Get your thinking caps on, guys.
Bye.
Catch you next week.
Bye.
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.